So don't try to underplay the significance of breaching the national security law.
Hong Kong's leader has some strong words for those opposed to a new law. This is Wednesday, June 23rd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, North Korea tells the U.S. talks are not imminent. Australia takes the U.N. to task on the Great Barrier Reef. A COVID target set by the U.S. is unlikely to be met. The next pandemic can be handled better. And a coalition of 41 countries calls for access to internment camps in China's Xinjiang region. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Hong Kong's last pro-democracy newspaper appears one step nearer to closing as Apple Daily announced it was airing its last nightly news show and dozens of staff resigned. The announcements came as Apple Daily's board members met to discuss the newspaper's viability after police last week raided its offices and arrested five executives and authorities froze the parent company's assets. The Hong Kong government's decision to freeze Next Digital's assets, totaling a reported $2.3 million, has left the publisher unable to pay staff or vendors. Two of the five executives arrested Thursday remain in custody. All are accused of foreign collusion under Hong Kong's national security law. Reuters cited an internal memo that says Apple Daily's board is expected to make a decision later this week that could result in June 26th being the final print run. Carrie Lam, the Hong Kong leader, fired back at the U.S. government's response to the arrest of pro-democracy newspaper Apple Daily's board of directors on Tuesday. U.S. State Department spokesman Neil Price had condemned the arrest of the five executives of the newspaper last week, claiming that such an act is politically motivated.
I heard something from the U.S. government about this arrest. And they say that, as we all know, exchanging views with foreigners in journalism should never be a crime. So what we are talking about is not exchanging views between foreigners and journalists. It is violating the law as defined in the national security law and based on very clear evidence, which will bring the case to court. So don't try to underplay the significance of breaching the national security law. And don't try to beautify these acts of endangering national security, which the foreign governments have taken so much to their heart. Whenever they talk about things that they are doing, they will put it under the banner of safeguarding national security. So what is the basis of applying that sort of double standards to the situation of the People's Republic of China and the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region? And don't try to accuse the Hong Kong authorities for using the national security law as a tool to suppress the media or to stifle the freedom of expression. All those accusations made by the U.S. government, I'm afraid, are wrong.
Apple Daily has been outspoken in defending Hong Kong's freedoms and in recent years has often criticized the Chinese and Hong Kong governments for limiting the city's democratic freedoms as well as constricting the rights of free speech and assembly not found on mainland China. Hong Kong's Court of Appeals Tuesday upheld a court decision to deny a trial by jury to the first person charged under the new national security law, a landmark decision that marks a departure from the global financial hub's common law tradition. Reuters' Emily Wither has more.
In a landmark decision in Hong Kong, the Court of Appeal has upheld a ruling to deny a trial by jury to the first person charged under a new national security law. The ruling marks a departure from the global financial hub's common law practice. The lawyer for Tong Ying Kit appealed after a ruling last month, said he would face a trial without jury, citing a perceived risk of the personal safety of jurors and their family members. Police say Tong carried a sign reading "Liberate Hong Kong, Revolution of Our Times" and drove his motorbike into officers during a protest on July 1st. They allege he knocked several officers down on a narrow street before falling over and being arrested. It was the first day the security law that Beijing imposed on the city was in force. targeting what China deems as secession, separatism, terrorism and collusion with foreign forces. The 24-year-old was charged with inciting separatism and terrorism. Hong Kong's judiciary describes trial by jury as one of the most important features of the city's legal system, a common law tradition designed to offer defendants additional protection against the possibility of authorities overreaching their power. Article 46 of the new law, drafted by Beijing, states three instances in which juries can be scrapped: protecting state secrets, cases involving foreign forces, and protecting jurors' safety. Tong has also been denied bail. Under the new law, the burden is now placed on the defendant to prove they will not break the law if released on bail. The trial is due to start on Wednesday.
Emily Wither reporting. For more information on our top stories, head on over to voanews.com or any of our many digital platforms. These are some of the stories you'll find at voanews.com. Myanmar's ruling junta says fighting between coup protesters and security forces in Mandalay Tuesday left four demonstrators dead. Russia and Myanmar junta leaders commit to boosting ties at a Moscow meeting. Duterte threatens to arrest Filipinos who refuse COVID vaccinations. China reportedly to keep COVID-19 border restrictions for another year. Thousands of Japanese companies begin distribution of COVID-19 vaccines to workers and their families. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. We continue on VOA Asia. North Korea Tuesday downplayed the possibility of talks with the United States several days after its leader, Kim Jong-un, hinted at the possibility of dialogue. More from VOA's Bill Gallo in Seoul.
Just last week, Kim Jong-un said he was prepared for both dialogue and confrontation with the United States. Some U.S. officials saw a glimmer of hope in that statement. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said it represented an interesting signal. But on Tuesday, Kim Jong-un's sister shot down any notion Pyongyang was ready to return to talks. She said in state-run media that the U.S. security advisor was showing a wrong expectation about her brother's remarks and added, "The U.S. may be disappointed in what is to come." It's the latest in a diplomatic dance between North Korea and the Biden administration. The United States says it's open to talks, but in the meantime plans to continue sanctions on North Korea. Sung Kim, the U.S. envoy for North Korea, is visiting Seoul this week.
We continue to hope that the DPRK will respond positively to our outreach and our offer to meet anywhere, anytime, without preconditions. In the meantime, we will continue to implement all UN Security Council resolutions addressing the DPRK. We also urge all UN member states, especially UN Security Council members, to do the same to address the threat posed to the international community by the DPRK.
North Korea has boycotted talks with the U.S. since 2019. At a summit with Kim Jong-un in February of that year, former U.S. President Donald Trump rejected an offer in which North Korea would dismantle a key nuclear complex in exchange for the U.S. lifting most sanctions. Since then, the coronavirus pandemic has upended the equation. North Korea went into a severe lockdown in January 2020, cutting off almost all contact with the outside world. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Happening now in Asia, a plague of mice that has ravaged vast swaths of eastern Australia has forced the evacuation of a prison while authorities repaired gnawed electrical wiring and cleared dead and decaying mice from walls and ceilings. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Australia is strongly opposed to a United Nations plan to list the Great Barrier Reef as in danger over damage caused by climate change. The UN's Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, released a draft report Monday recommending the reef's World Heritage status be downgraded because of a dramatic decline in its coral. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has more.
UNESCO has said the Great Barrier Reef should be put on a list of World Heritage sites that are in danger because of global warming. The UN's cultural body said the world's largest coral reef system could be added to that category next month at a meeting hosted by China. However, the government in Canberra said it would strongly oppose the recommendation. UNESCO wants Australia to take accelerated action to address the impact of climate change. But senior officials have insisted the UN body's decision failed to consider the billions of dollars that have been spent attempting to protect the Great Barrier Reef, which stretches 2,300 kilometres down the coast of northeastern Australia. Environment Minister Susan Ley says UNESCO's actions are regrettable.
It is a backflip on previous assurances. It is a deviation from normal process. And it's based on just a desktop review without the latest information. However, I must say that I know that climate change is the biggest threat to the reef, but Australia has the gold standard best managed reef in the world.
Environmentalists said UNESCO's decision highlighted Australia's inability to curb greenhouse emissions and brought shame on the government. The Climate Council, an independent campaign organisation, has accused ministers of standing by as the reef declines rather than fighting to protect it. The Great Barrier Reef is arguably Australia's greatest natural treasure. It gained World Heritage status in 1981. The reef faces many threats, including the runoff of pollution from farms, industrialisation, overfishing, and infestations of coral-eating crown-of-thorn starfish. Changes in ocean temperatures due to climate change have resulted in widespread bleaching. Rising temperatures cause stress in healthy corals, causing them to expel symbiotic algae living in their tissues, draining them of their vibrant colours and much of their energy. The Great Barrier Reef suffered consecutive years of mass bleaching in 2016 and 2017. Australia has so far resisted international calls to commit to a target of net zero emissions by 2050. Prime Minister Scott Morrison said his centre-right government hoped to reach carbon neutral status as soon as possible without damaging the country's lucrative mining industries. The Great Barrier Reef is about the same size as Japan and is the only living structure that can be seen from space. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. Deposed Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi appeared in a junta court again Tuesday on trial for sedition and for flouting COVID-19 restrictions during an election her ousted party won in a landslide. All the big stories come your way through the day at VOA Asia, Twitter, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The United States is likely to miss President Joe Biden's goal of having 70% of U.S. adults partially or fully vaccinated against the coronavirus by the July 4th Independence Day holiday. But the White House says the U.S. could reach that mark for adults 27 or older. A White House official said the federal government now will focus on convincing those who are 18 to 26 years of age to get vaccinated. Many young U.S. adults, for various reasons, have shown little interest in getting vaccinated, especially since the number of new coronavirus cases and deaths have fallen sharply in the country in recent weeks, and many businesses have reopened without face masks and social distancing restrictions that have been in place for more than a year. Overall, however, since the pandemic first spread widely in the U.S. in March of 2020, the country has recorded more than 602,000 deaths and 33.5 million infections. That's more than in any other country, according to the Johns Hopkins University. When COVID-19 hit, the world wasn't ready. The pandemic showed us major gaps in our preparation and our ability to respond to the virus. Health experts say we will have another one. VOA's Carol Pearson reports it doesn't have to be as bad as COVID-19.
COVID-19 is leaving behind a world full of grief. Some countries may be emerging from the spread of the virus. Others are in COVID's grip. Some are going into lockdown. And many people, scientists included, are asking why the pandemic wasn't better contained. Dr. Tom Frieden has worked to end epidemics. Frieden is the former director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
We may never know whether COVID could have been stopped, but there's something really important to understand, which is that every day around the world, public health and healthcare workers are stopping epidemics.
Another deadly coronavirus called MERS appeared in the Middle East nearly a decade ago. Again, Dr. Frieden.
I used to ask people when I was CDC director, remember that big outbreak of MERS we had in the U.S.? And they would look a little puzzled. And they said, no. I said, that's because we didn't have one. We established the ways of testing for it. We alerted clinicians. They did find cases, and there was no spread.
Frieden now heads Resolve to Save Lives, an organization that has studied how even poor countries have beaten epidemics. The study cites examples of how countries have stopped epidemics through good leadership, investment in health facilities and health workers, and community involvement. The anthrax bacteria occurs naturally in the soil. It's deadly for animals that graze, unless they're vaccinated against it. Anthrax can also kill people who handle or eat infected meat. In Kenya, volunteers are trained to watch for signs of the disease and to report it. 2 years ago, anthrax broke out in a tribal community. A volunteer reported it, health workers took action, and more than 10,000 animals were vaccinated. An epidemic was stopped in its tracks. During the Ebola epidemic in West Africa that ended 5 years ago, Nigeria was spared because of its polio vaccination program. Health workers already had community connections, and they knew how to do contact tracing and interpret laboratory data. Amanda McClellan was in West Africa during that epidemic.
Using the polio team within Lagos is really one of those success stories that we've looked at how we can amplify.
Nigeria had the Ebola outbreak under control in just 2 months, as opposed to the 2 years it took the three other countries. With the right infrastructure, the right leadership, and quick action, Frieden says several epidemics not only can be prevented, but have been prevented. Countries have to work together to prevent the worldwide spread of disease. One thing experts say that COVID-19 has taught us is the world is not ready for the next pandemic, and they say there will be another one. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Making headlines in Asia, an aviation firm has carried out the first test in India of longer-range drone deliveries as hopes grow they could deliver medicines as well as COVID-19 vaccines to remote areas. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, a coalition of 41 countries is calling for access to internment camps in China's Xinjiang region to check on the situation of an estimated 1 million Muslim Uyghurs who allegedly are being detained under abusive conditions. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Canada issued the cross-regional joint statement at the UN Human Rights Council Tuesday. In her delivery, Ottawa's ambassador to the United Nations in Geneva, Leslie Norton, stressed the urgency of getting to the bottom of this human rights situation.
Credible reports indicate that over 1 million people have been arbitrarily detained in Xinjiang and that there's widespread surveillance disproportionately targeting Uyghurs and members of other minorities and restrictions on fundamental freedoms in Uyghur culture. There are also reports of torture or cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment or punishment, forced sterilization, sexual and gender-based violence, and forced separation of children from their parents by authorities.
Norton urged China on behalf of the coalition to allow immediate, unfettered access to Xinjiang for independent observers, including the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. This follows a similar request made by Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet at the opening of the council session Monday.
I continue to discuss with China modalities for a visit, including meaningful access to the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, and hope this can be achieved this year, particularly as reports of serious human rights violations continue to emerge.
Beijing has described the detention camps as vocational centers aimed at stopping religious extremism and terrorist attacks. China said it welcomes a visit by the High Commissioner to China, including Xinjiang, but on condition that it be a friendly visit and not a so-called investigation under the presumption of guilt. China also responded quite differently to the joint statement that demanded access to the camps in Xinjiang. Minister Jian Duan simply ignored it. Instead, he conveyed his deep concern about the serious human rights violations suffered by Indigenous people in Canada. His statement was supported by 7 countries: Russia, Belarus, North Korea, Venezuela, Iran, Syria, and Sri Lanka.
Historically, Canada robbed the Indigenous people of their land, killed them, and eradicated their culture. We call for a thorough and impartial investigation into all cases where crimes were committed against the Indigenous people, especially the children.
The Canadian ambassador acknowledged that Indigenous people still face systemic racism, discrimination, and injustice, but added her government was working to right these wrongs. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
We continue on VOA Asia. Home security companies often rely on cameras and motion sensors to catch trespassers. But as VOA's Tina Trin discovers, Wi-Fi signals can be a less intrusive way to monitor activity.
Juggling privacy and safety concerns can be challenging when it comes to home security systems, most of which rely on connected cameras. But one company says home Wi-Fi signals can do the same job without the Big Brother vibes.
Origin Wireless uses Wi-Fi to sense indoor environments.
Wi-Fi waves blanket a home environment, explains product manager Daniel Bugos.
When you move through this pool of Wi-Fi waves, they will bounce around you. They will kind of break and bend to the environment.
Origin's Wi-Fi sensing technology identifies distortions in those waves. The company's Hex Home system generates waves that can pass between walls and around corners, just like regular Wi-Fi.
When these two devices are plugged in, they will form a sensing bubble in your home. So anywhere that this sensing bubble exists, we can interpret how much motion is going on.
A live motion view lets users monitor activity in the accompanying app.
If nobody's home, that live motion view will be empty, kind of a horizontal line. And if somebody's in your home, you will see that, you know, fluctuating.
Adjustable sensitivity levels filter out movement from pets or mechanical objects like fans. Our biological makeup also helps the system differentiate between humans and inanimate objects.
We're actually largely made of water, so that will cause the waves to change a certain way compared with something like a book.
The technology could also be a less intrusive way for caretakers to monitor seniors at home, alerting them to falls.
Usually it's a rapid acceleration and then deceleration. Our sensing engines can look for those abrupt changes in speed.
It's peace of mind without the prying eyes. Tina Trin, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter, at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Jim Stevenson, Amy Hybels, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman. Stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.